Good morning. It is good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Open your Bible and let us read in 1 John chapter 3 verses 1 to 24. 1 John chapter 3 verses 1 to 24. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that, when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committed sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath his world's good, and seen his brother hath need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemned us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence towards God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive him, because we keep his commandments, and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is commandments, and this is his commandments, that we should believe on the name of his Son Jesus Christ, and love one another, as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. Amen. Let us now give thanks unto the Lord our Maker for all his goodness and blessings we receive from him. Our gracious and heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you for your loving kindness, your faithfulness, and the provision you bestow upon us. We thank you, Jesus, for you died on the cross for our sins and resurrected from the dead on the third day to give us eternal life. Thank you for your everlasting love that you love us with. We thank you today with gratitude for all the blessings you've given to us, to our family, to your people, and to your church. We thank you for the trials and the problems that you are solving to us. Thank you for the deliverance and strength that comes from you. We thank you for the miracles and wonders that you did, for the good health, healing, and answered prayers. We magnify your name and we exalt your name in our midst, Lord Jesus. Let us now confess our sins to God. Lord, we confess our sins and renounce them. The Lord says in his word, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and purify us from all our unrighteousness. Lord, forgive us our sins. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness, stubbornness, the wrong decisions, pride, anger, hatred, and selfishness. Cleanse us, Lord, from the bad effects of sins. Lord, we commit our lives unto you. Help us to be obedient to your word and to love one another and to do the will of yours in the name of Jesus. Let us now pray for our personal petitions and requests. Heavenly Father, our all-knowing God, you see our needs before we ask. Lord, we pray to help us to put your kingdom first in our lives and honor you, and graciously grant our requests and petition in Jesus' name. Let us now pray for our families. Pray for your husband. Pray for your wife. Pray for your children. Pray for your parents. Pray for your siblings. Lord, we pray to protect and shield every family from the work of the evil one. Guide and keep every family safe and provide their needs. We pray for every husband. Give them wisdom and knowledge how to implement your good plan and your will to their families. Shield them from any evil and guide them. Lord, we pray for every wife. Bless them. Help them to live submissive to your word to their husband. Help them to train their children in righteousness. We pray for the children to be obedient to their parents, for this is right. Protect them from the flaming darts of the evil one. We pray for the parents to bless and help them as they instruct their children in a godly way and provide for them everything they need. We pray for all the single parents in the church. Lord, you help them and provide for them to manage their lives and the lives of their children and raise them in the fear of you. Lord, we pray for our siblings to guide them, to provide them their needs. Lord, we pray for the salvation of all the family members who are unsaved. Let us now pray for our jobs. Pray for your boss and your colleagues to be safe. Lord, thank you for providing these jobs. Lord, we pray to bless those places of work in our boss. We commit ourselves to obey our earthly masters. Lord, we pray to give them more businesses and income so we can receive our salaries on time, so we can give what is due to you in giving our tithes, offerings, and first fruits. Lord, help us to evangelize and use our spiritual gifts to preach your word in our working places. Let us now pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ who are in need. Let us pray for one another. Lord, we pray for our brethren who are in trouble to provide their needs. Lord, protect them. Provide for them and help them. Lord, heal the sick. Give jobs to those jobless and give wisdom and solution to those who are in troubles. Let us now pray for our neighbors, colleagues, relatives, people back home in our countries, and those whom we are meeting in the streets, in the market, in our accommodations, and in our working places to be saved. Heavenly Father, we pray for the salvation of our friends, co-workers, relatives, and neighbors. We pray for spiritual awakening. Lord, we trust you in your power to save them, to open their eyes, hearts, and minds to the truth of your gospel. In Jesus' name. Let us now pray for you in the extension of the church in other countries in Oman, Kuwait, Iraq, Pakistan, India, Philippines, Sri Lanka, Armenia, America, Sierra Leone, and Malawi. Let us pray for the favor of God that He will provide for all the logistic needs, offices, the documentation needed, and the rest of the church needs. Lord, we praise you and thank you for all the places that you allow the church to expand. Lord, we pray for the salvation of the people in those countries. We pray, Lord, to reveal yourself to them and speak to them in visions and dreams. Stretch out your hands, Lord, and do miracles and wonders in their lives. Lord, we commit ourselves to obey the rules and regulations in those countries and be good citizens. Lord, we pray to protect all the church congregations and workers. Lord, empower us with the Holy Spirit to reach new people. Lord, we pray that you give us favor and provide for all the needs. Lord, prosper all those places, and so we too, your church, will prosper in Jesus' name. Let us now pray for the church and for all the ministries of the church. Pray for more evangelism, more Bible study groups, and more congregation to be planted. Pray for more people to get water baptized, and more workers to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Pray and commit yourself to serve God. Lord, we pray to bless, protect, and spread your congregation in other places in the world. Lord, bless the church school, the church banking, church clinic, the farming ministry, watchman ministry, the publication, children and youth under their parents, wives under the husband, the translation ministry and the website. Lord, use all those ministries to bring new people to you. Sanctify all your servants. Lord, fulfill the vision of the church, multiplication and peace with implementing the whole will of God. Lord, we devote ourselves to go and evangelize and make new disciples. We pray for more souls to be saved in the name of Jesus. Let us pray for our service. Lord, anoint our prayers, our songs, our giving in your word today to speak to us, to be changed in likeness of you in everything. Lord, we pray for miracles and wonders. Lord, bless our recording and use it to reach the rest of the congregations, families, workers, members, and to reach the lost. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let us now stand and worship the Lord and sing praises unto him.
Yes, O God.
For truly you are the Holy One who deserves the praise, honor, and glory.
Yes, O Lord God, we come to worship you and adore you. May the token of our thanksgiving will reach your throne, O Lord God, for you have rescued us, you have helped us, you have saved us, you have loved us with an everlasting love. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
You, O Lord, save themselves. They are so poor, our shame was deeper than the sea. Your grace is deeper still. You are love. strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeking you as the precious jewel. Lord, to give up, I'd be a fool. You are my all.
Jesus Christ. Amen.
Let us now collect our tithes and offering to God. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 9 to 12, bring ye all tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and for you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Yes, O Lord, I praise you and adore you. We thank you, O God, for all the blessing you bestow upon us, for you are the provider of our needs and giver of life. Lord, as we bring our tithes offering and first fruit, open all the floodgates of heaven and rebuke the devourer in our lives as you promise to your word, through your word. And then bless us that there shall be no room to receive it, for the people around us will see that we are blessed by you, by the fulfillment of your word. Lord, bless this money, O God, for the furtherance of your kingdom. In Jesus' name I pray. Mm-hmm. Amen. Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. Amen. I am reading from the preaching of Dr. Ramiz, our overseer, entitled, How to Adorn Yourself, Part 3, Teaching Against Makeup, Painting, and Perfumes. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you and we praise you, Lord. We pray, help us to understand your message and put into practice for the glory of your name. Anoint my lips and help me, O Lord, to read and deliver your message to us. In Jesus' name, amen. The message for today will help us to understand how we can face the struggles of life and trials and how to overcome
with the help of God and with the help of His word and commands in our lives. The teaching of the message will help us also to take the right stand against excessive makeup and perfumes. Open your Bibles in Ruth chapter 3, verses 1 to 11. Ruth chapter 3, verses 1 to 11, King James Version. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? And now is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maiden thou wast? Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor. Wash thyself, therefore, and anoint thee, and put thy raiment upon thee, and get thee down to the floor. But make not thyself known unto the man until he shall have done eating and drinking. And it shall be, when he lieth down, that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie. And thou shalt go in and uncover his feet and lay down. And he will tell thee what thou shalt do. And she said unto her, All that thou sayest unto me, I will do. And she went down unto the floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn. And she came softly and uncovered his feet and laid her down. And it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid and turned himself, and behold, a woman lay at his feet, and he said, Who art thou? And she answered, I am Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman. And he said, Blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followedst not young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. Ruth did not need to put perfume and apply makeup to achieve God's will for his life, for her life. Ruth was a widow, and she was living in a land not of her own, but was successful in facing her problems and solving them when she humbled herself and find refuge in God's word and God's will. Number one, Ruth listened to the advice of her mother-in-law. Naomi repented from her sins and was willing to go back where God had placed her. Mm-hmm. Repentant people are the best people that you can listen to in advising you and in giving you the counsel and the will of God. Number two, Ruth obeyed the plan of God that she received through her mother-in-law. Ruth chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? And now is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maiden thou wast? Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor. She accepted the plan of God for her to get married from Boaz. He was elder than her, and she was young in age. But she was willing to obey the word of God to marry the kinsman redeemer to preserve their line and their inheritance. Ruth chapter 3, verses 10 to 11. And he said, Blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followedst not young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. Number three, she obeyed the instruction that she received from her mother-in-law. Ruth chapter 3, verse 3. Wash thyself therefore and anoint thee, and put thy raiment upon thee, and get thee down to the floor. Ruth did not paint or color herself to attract the man. She did not put perfume or entice him with her smell. She washed herself and she anointed herself with oil and clothed herself decently. The New International Version exaggerates the advice of Naomi to Ruth and put it in a worldly way as the following. Ruth chapter 3 verse 3 in IV translation. Wash, put on perfume, and get dressed in your best clothes. Then go down to the threshing floor, but don't let them know you are there until he had finished eating and drinking. Ruth did not put perfume, but the truth is that Ruth was instructed to wash herself, put her own dress, and use olive oil to anoint herself. The olive oil was used for anointing. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 40. Deuteronomy 28, verse 40, thou shalt have olive trees throughout all thy coast, but thou shalt not anoint thyself with the oil, for thine olive shall cast his fruit. God granted her his perfect will when she obeyed him. Women with their makeup and perfume, they will not attract the godly men, but they will attract the worldly people who have no God in their lives. Speaking about ointments and external preparations, there are also other trees and plants that can be beneficial to the skin and hair, natural and without chemical effects, which can be applied externally without side effects. Daniel and his friends surpassed the others because they determined not to defile themselves with the king's delicacies. And they were sustained just by eating vegetables and drinking pure water. Daniel chapter 1, verses 11 to 15. Daniel chapter 1, verses 11 to 15. Then Daniel said to Milsar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, "Prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us fowls to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat. And as thou seest, deal with thy servants." So he consented to them in this matter and proved them 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. I am not saying that we need to eat vegetable and pulses and drink water to look good. But what I want to say here is that if we obey God, doing his will and living away from defilement, then we will be radiant and receive the favor of God and man. When Daniel and his friends were obedient to God, they received the favor of God. Their faces were of better countenance than others. They were able to convince Milsar, who was over them, to take away the king's food and give them pulses and water. Daniel chapter 1, verse 16. Daniel chapter 1, verse 16. Thus Milsar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink and give them pulse. Their faces were of good countenances, even after 10 days of eating that kind of food. The meaning of Milsar is dubious. and it will be really dubious to put our faith and trust on people, food, or makeup to gain things in life and not on God alone. God will give us the appearance that He wants us to have. It is not the makeup or the expensive food that will make us look good. What is important is how God wants us to appear. God made the face of Daniel look good to enable him to continue by not defiling himself with the food from the king's table. And that was a good testimony to others and challenged other Jews there in Babylon to separate themselves from the idols of the Babylonians and not to eat the food that was sacrificed to them. Another example that we have about how God wants us to appear is in the book of Nehemiah. When Nehemiah heard the news about the broken walls and the burnt gates of Jerusalem, he resolves to fast and pray to petition God to restore the city of Jerusalem. At that time, Nehemiah was a cupbearer to King Artaxerxes. Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. And it came to pass in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes the king, that wine was before him. And I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now I had not been before time sad in his presence. Wherefore the king said unto me, Why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore afraid. And I said unto the king, Let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad, when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? Then the king said unto me, For what dost thou make request? So I prayed to the God of heaven, and I said unto the king, If it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. Nehemiah was in prayer and fasting, and he had a sad countenance while he was serving the king with the cup of wine. The job description of the cupbearer we can read in Genesis chapter 40, verse 11. Genesis 40, verse 11. And Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup, and I gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. The cupbearer is responsible to prepare a cup of grape juice for the king in his presence and give it to him. The purpose of preparing the cup in the presence of the king was for security reasons, in order to ensure that no poison is added to his drink. So Nehemiah was responsible to prepare the cup of wine from the king, for the king, and to put it in his hand. While he was in fasting and mourning for Jerusalem, the king noticed his sad face. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 2. Wherefore the king said unto me, Why is thy countenance sad, seeing that thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore afraid. Nehemiah was afraid that the king had noticed his sad face. He was afraid because he was not supposed to look sad while being on duty in the presence of the king. The sadness of his face could be interpreted as unhappiness in his work to serve the king. Therefore, he was afraid when the king confronted him. The Lord allowed the face of Nehemiah to appear sad to draw the attention of the king that day so that the mission of Nehemiah to start rebuilding the wall of Jerusalem will come to pass. It was a direct answer to the prayer and fasting of Nehemiah. Based on what we come to know from the scriptures, we can certainly come to the conclusion that we don't need to worry about of how people estimate our external appearance, because as we surrender our will and will to God, because as we surrender our will and life to God, and as our heart and mind are knit with Him, then He will be the one to give us a certain appearance that would finally be used to serve God's purpose and will in our lives, as we observe in the example of Daniel and Nehemiah. Paul said to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? If we delight in God, then we are the sweet fragrance of Christ, even though we might look ugly and have the smell of death to the world. If we set our minds and hearts on the things above, then we are hid with Christ in God. Our countenance will be determined by God of how it will be manifested to the people who are around us. If God would like us to appear sad for a certain purpose, then the makeup that people put on will work against the purpose of the Holy Spirit. And if God wants us to appear fresh and of right countenance, then God, the Holy Spirit, will achieve that in us, even if we are fasting or even if we are surviving mainly on vegetables. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 8 to 15. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 8 to 15. I will therefore that men pray every day, everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh woman professing godliness with good works. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman, being deceived, was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing, if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. Paul started to talk here about the order of worship inside the family. Number one, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. He spoke here about how a man needs to lead prayer as a leader over his own family, without a doubt and with a good attitude away from anger and pride. Number two, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9. In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array. Paul stated here how women need to adorn themselves with modest dress, with shamefacedness, which means a sense of shame or honor, modesty, bashfulness, reverence, regard for others, respect, and with sobriety, which means self-control and soundness of mind. Paul instructed women not to use braided hair, gold, pearls, or costly dress. So it is very clear that the writing of Paul is agreeing with the writing of Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Number 3, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 10. But which becometh women professing godliness with good works. The beauty and the attraction of women are their good deeds that the Lord had prepared in advance for them to do, to care for their homes, to bear children, and raise them in a godly way. Number 4, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. In the godly family, the man is the one who leads the family into following God's will, and he is the one to teach the wife the word of God. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. Paul was not speaking here that the woman should not teach the word of God in the church. He was speaking here in the context of the family. In front of her godly husband, she needs to keep silent and obey God's instruction that comes from God's word. Number 5, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. God created Adam first and instructed him with God's word. And then he created the woman and brought her to him to be under the responsibility of the man to teach her God's word and to instruct her with God's command. Number 6, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14. In Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Paul explains here why he doesn't allow a woman to teach her husband, because she was the first one who sinned. He was the first one who sinned. God's word reminds us that in the family of Adam, the woman who was put under the authority of men was the one who had sinned first, when she was enticed with the lies that Satan had told her. This also confirms that Paul was speaking here in the context of the family and not the church. The woman in Genesis chapter 3, instead of following her husband's instruction, she enticed her husband to follow her wrongdoing. Husbands need to be careful not to be enticed with their wives' requests that will lead them to disobey God. Instead, they need to be firm with their wives and lead them out of sin and rebuke them when they found them enticed by the devil, so they will not be sinning against God. Number 7, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Notwithstanding, she shall she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. When the woman sinned and let her husband also to eat from the fruit of the forbidden tree, the Lord announced curses to fall on the serpent who had enticed the woman, and on the woman, and on the man. To the serpent, God said, Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall be bruised thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So God put enmity between Satan and the woman, and between Satan's seed and her seed. The seed of the woman is the Lord Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. And when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. Jesus was born of a woman and brought the head of the serpent on the cross of Calvary. Colossians chapter 2, verse 15. Colossians chapter 2, verse 15. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Now, the enmity between the woman and Satan, and between their offspring, continued even to this day. But what the word of God says of the woman is, 1 Timothy 2:15, notwithstanding she shall be saved in childbearing, if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. This will come true if the woman continues to raise godly offspring, the disciples of Jesus who will carry the mission of the Lord all over the world and even to the next generation. 1 Timothy 2:15, notwithstanding, she shall be safe in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. The application of that does not just refer to the mere physical pregnancy and childbearing, but the woman needs to raise her children as disciples for Jesus Christ, as well as like the woman who will nurture her children as true disciples of Jesus. The church, being the wife of Jesus, the Lamb of God, will raise godly disciples. Here we can read about the Lamb's wife. Revelation chapter 21, verse 9. Revelation chapter 21, verse 9. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. Therefore, the responsibility of the church toward Christ, being his wife, is to go and to raise disciples of all nations who are true followers and workers for Jesus. My dear and beloved, that is how the church today should beautify and prepare herself for her husband and the wedding supper of the Lamb that will take place when Jesus will come back. Revelation chapter 19, verse 7. Revelation chapter 19, verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife had made herself ready. The church will beautify herself not by parties, idols, feasts to demons, makeup, and indecent dress, but the church will beautify herself by taking the great commission of Jesus, our Redeemer, in making new disciples to the very ends of the earth, and to continue to the next generation until He comes back to take us to heaven. In the same way, our women, when they obey the Lord and His word and apply them in their lives and in the lives of their families, that will be the way for them to adorn themselves before God and before man. Let us all stand and let us pray. Father God, I come before you in the name of Jesus who died on the cross for my sins to give me eternal life. Lord, I commit myself to the principles that I learned from this message to apply and to teach others and help them to follow Christ. Lord, continue to provide for me and to protect me so I will continue to serve you in reaching new people and making new disciples for you. Let us repent from our sins. Renounce your lack of trust in God, your fear of man, and your trust on people. Renounce your makeup and perfumes that you are using to have a prestige and attract others. Renounce your pride, your arrogance, and stubbornness. Confess your sins of not reading the Word of God and lack of prayers. Renounce your anger, rudeness, and your lack of gentleness. Renounce the sin of bribing others, using your beauty and makeup. Renounce your worldliness and your love to be famous. Renounce your bad stewardship and wasting your money on makeup and perfumes, accessories, mobiles, and other non-necessary things. Renounce your immoralities and your extramarital relationship. Renounce your non-willingness to humble down and go along the plan and the will of God. Renounce your bad example to others and the wrong lifestyle that you are living. Renounce your non-willingness to serve God, your non-willingness to suffer for Him, and your non-willingness to preach God's word. Lord, forgive me. I repent from the following sins. Lord, I humble myself before you and before your word that I heard today. Lord, I commit myself to come out from all the worldliness of makeup, nail painting, face painting, and perfumes. Lord, I commit myself to the principles that I learned from this message to apply and to teach my family, my wife and my daughters and others, and help them to follow Christ. Lord, I commit myself to read my Bible daily and meditate on your word, to pray and be at your feet every morning before I start my day. Lord, I commit myself to fast, asking you to give me your word that I need in my life, that I will share also, that I will also share it to the people who are around me and who are in need of it. Lord, continue to provide for me and to protect me, so I will continue to serve you in reaching new people and making new disciples for you. Lord, continue to bless our church. Touch each and every member to come out from worldliness and start to understand how to invite more of the Holy Spirit in their life, so that their faces will be shining to others around them and will reflect to them the glory of God, so people will turn to you. Lord, help my brothers and sisters to read their Bibles more and let them pray more and to listen more to your voice while they are at your feet. Lord, help us as a church to evangelize and empower us to reach new people with the gospel and to make new disciples. Lord, I pray for more Bible study gatherings will be added to the church and more new souls get converted and more workers will be added to the church. Lord, bless us. Enlarge our territory. Let your hand be with us and free us from harm so that we will not feel pain. May the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh, Lord, good Savior.